Hello and welcome to another episode of Father and Joe. I'm Joe Rocky here with Father Boniface Hicks. And to all the audience out there, the ratings had just come in and October of 2023 was our best month ever. We thank all of you guys out there for being a part of it, helping us grow. And if you have not already done so, please leave a review rating on whatever platform you are doing this on and listening to us. It tremendously helps. A number of people have done this on the various other platforms, and we are skyrocketing on one of those that they are. So it literally takes you about 4 seconds. Click rate this episode, leave a little 2-second review. That's all we're asking for. And you guys will help us get to so many more people as well. We thank you all for being a part of the team and growing with us here. So Father, you had sent something here as we're in preparation for Advent and the conclusion here of autumn, the fall. And I want to let you take the floor with this because I don't want to step in the wrong direction that you're going to take it. And just tell the listeners about the power and the awesomeness that you got going on.
Well, I'm teaming up for this season with an organization, a spiritual movement for men called Exodus 90. And so I would just propose people take a look at Exodus 90, the number 90.com, Exodus90.com. Exodus 90 is a spirituality movement for men. It actually started in a seminary. Basically, some of the seminarians went to one of the formators and said, hey, we want to like do some masculine things, you know, prayer and asceticism and just like really kick it into gear. What can we do? And the formator, you know, inspired moment sketched, I think on a napkin or something. Anyway, he said, well, make a holy hour every day, pray a rosary, go to mass, take cold showers, fast Wednesday and Friday, cut out alcohol, cut out television, cut out sports, movies, meet together with your group weekly, hold each other accountable and help each other to make this journey. And, you know, do that for 90 days. And so that's the basic thrust of Exodus 90. And then it follows the Exodus journey. These guys did it over Lent. And one of the key readings for Lent is the Exodus, is going into the desert for 40 years with the Israelites and making that escape from Pharaoh and his oppressive regime over the Israelites. And the goal is to help break free of a lot of the oppressive regimes that hold us bound, whether it's a lot of television, a lot of entertainment, a lot of movies, a lot of alcohol, a lot of food, or whether it's a lack of discipline in prayer or a variety of other things, setting out on a journey that we really kick it into gear for 90 days. And what's especially important for me is that it's always done in a group. You have an anchor that you check in daily with, and then you also have a group that you meet weekly with. It's incorporating scripture readings, especially from Exodus. They provide reflections, and then you have your weekly meetings. And so it's really men supporting men to have you know, sort of spiritual movement and stretch ourselves. I think sometimes Christianity, in our desire to be compassionate and gentle, which is essential to Christianity, mm-hmm. So without taking anything away from that, sometimes we need to do something. And yes, actually doing something is a good thing. Then what do we do? And sometimes we fall short of that. And you know, and there are reasons to be careful around all of those different practices and to be, you know, a little bit gentle with ourselves. Plus the fact that if we actually set out to do it, we're probably going to fail. And so we need to know how to deal with failure. And that's where the gentleness and compassion comes in. But as I think I've said before on this podcast, and I certainly say often enough, the movement in Christianity is try, fail, surrender. If we're not trying hard enough to fail, then we're not trying hard enough. So we need to aim our sights a little higher. And that's what Exodus 90 can do for people. So that's Exodus 90, which starts January 1st. But what they found, they've been doing this for years, more than 100,000 men from around the world have gone through it, and they've formed a lot of groups, and a lot of people want to keep up with it after the movement. January 1st will culminate at Easter, 90 days after January 1st is Easter this year. And so after Easter, a lot of guys want to continue doing it, and so there is an app and a subscription. It's a free subscription. I think there's also paid elements that you can get. I know there are paid elements that you can get with additional reflections and meditations, practices, insights. And so for years now, they've been doing kind of mini Exodus experiences, like they did St. Michael's Lent, which was the 40 days prior to September 29th, the feast of St. Michael and the other archangels. And then they're also doing an autumn challenge, which will start today, maybe. Anyway, and culminate at the end of autumn, which is December 21st. And this year, I'm doing a couple of things together with them. So my first offering will be the last 10 days of that autumn challenge. I wrote a series of articles, which is their normal format. They really like to take you through scripture and focus on scripture as a source of revelation, which I certainly love and appreciate. It's a very Benedictine thing. It's a very Catholic thing, but it's also a very Benedictine thing. And so with some scriptures, I wrote some articles on how better to accompany each other. And I think that's an element of Exodus 90 that I'm happy to contribute to, because accompaniment is sort of my world. And so how, you know, it's one thing to have a group of men. It's one thing to have, they call it an anchor. So that's your daily check-in person. But you can do that in ways that makes things worse, or you can do that in ways that make things better. And if you understand the dynamics of forming a communion of persons, that can be really one of the most powerful aspects of any spirituality movement. And one of the things that most often causes people to fall short when they start getting excited about spiritual practices is trying to do it on their own. And you will fail, because that's not what spiritual practices are oriented to. They're oriented to closer relationship with God, but God is himself relationship. And so it necessarily requires relationships with others. A lone Christian is an endangered species, as they say. We have to be in community. But how can we be in community in a way that's really upbuilding, that's helpful? And I love, again, that Exodus 90 really builds that in. So they have the spiritual practices. That can become problematic for several reasons, because it can be a very will-based spirituality. It's all personal achievement, and it can become kind of Pelagian. I achieve my salvation, which will be our downfall. On the other hand, because Exodus 90 incorporates a cohort and an anchor that you're always journeying with, not to mention the whole group of people around the world, but some closely connected that you're in regular weekly contact with, or a person you're in daily contact with, that communion, that community can be really powerful for growing, the right context for growth. But then how are we present to people in a way that will be most helpful? There are ways that accountability tries to use shame in order to produce better results, and that inevitably produces worse results. The shame is precisely the problem, and shaming, adding to shame, is it's going to make things more problematic. But being in it with someone to encourage, to support, and even to share failure with, and then to upbuild and to provide hope, and even to reach out to in temptation and struggle, that's a huge benefit. So the way that we understand what's happening inside of us, and the way we understand how to support each other, and that's so much of the stuff that you and I have talked about, Joe. So this is my boiled down version of our years of podcasting. But that series of articles will come out at the end of the autumn challenge. So starting November 22nd, going to, the end of, I guess not. I guess the autumn challenge must start November 22nd. In the last 10 days, so December 11 to 21 or something, my articles will come out.
So that's awesome. And everyone get that at exodus90.com. To be able to get a part of that information, be able to grow with it. And a lot of fantastic things there. So obviously going for it with a group being one of the main parts of Christianity, if you got to be part of a community. And I'm assuming that you don't need to know who the other people are. Like, you don't need to show up like a phone plan with 10 of your friends already. You could just say, I want to be a part of it. And there's a number of other people at the same point wanting to be a part of it, different spots on this planet that you guys can team up with. Is that the...
Well, there are two paths. So it's certainly encouraged that you get your friends, mm-hmm. because you're going to have an existing relationship that will grow through the Exodus experience. So signing up a cohort of, I think 6 to 8 guys or 10 or anyway, a group, is encouraged, but also if you don't have a group, you can sign up and then they'll connect you to a group. So both paths are possible.
Certainly, and that makes sense. Now, some of the stuff that you talked about there is fantastic. One of the things that kind of struck me that I want to talk about here, I think I understand what you're saying, but if because I've talked to you since 2017, I think I understand what you're saying, but hearing the first time might have come across like, wait, what? And that would be the part when you talked about shame being bad in the middle there, because a lot of people's initial reaction is, shame is the result of me being accountable, and I know I did something wrong, so I feel bad. So I'm lumping shame and guilt into that same category there. And unless I'm misunderstanding you, you're not saying that initial feeling that you get from realizing I messed up is not the problem. The problem is being an outside person burying that on top of another. Is that assessment correct? Because I think that's an important clarification out there. To make.
Yeah, we can look at shame a couple different ways. So having the feeling of shame when I've done something wrong is healthy because it moves me in a different direction. Although really what we want is either guilt for having done something wrong or contrition for having damaged an emotional, a relational bond. So we really want to move from shame to guilt or contrition. The Catholic tradition has never shamed people or just tried to use that as a lever to prevent bad behavior. So, and then the other problem with shame. So another way to define shame is feeling unworthy of love and belonging. And okay. So we don't want that in our lives because mm-hmm. it's false. We are worthy of love and belonging because God has chosen us. Part of the problem with shame is too much of our context is a certain group of people. So I may actually be unloved and excluded from a certain group of people. And I can feel ashamed about that, but that's not actually a reflection on my being. That's a reflection on those relationships and probably a reflection on those people who are using peer pressure and shame to control and manipulate. So it's probably a group of people I don't want to be part of anyway, but, So shame is a feeling that we tend to be pretty motivated to avoid, and then we take on a number of behaviors. Sometimes we wash it out with sin. We don't want to feel the shame, and so that leads to pornography, it leads to alcohol abuse, it leads to workaholism, it leads to a variety of ways that we can try to escape from that feeling of shame. What do we do? Well, we really want to press into that feeling. Those places where I feel unworthy of love and belonging, those places where I feel bad, are places that I need to bring into communion with others. And so being able to meet someone in their shame and support them in it to help them feel loved in those spaces as they are. And if there's been failures, it's not celebrating failure as such, but it's also not saying that failure means your whole life is a failure. A struggle to meet a spiritual goal is part of practice. So that's an opportunity for growth. And it's part of our practice towards the ideal, whatever ideal we're striving for, temperance or chastity or a deeper love or a greater commitment or whatever it is. So anyway. Yes, we don't want to use, so sometimes accountability will try to say, well, you know, if you make this mistake, then you have to tell me, and then I'm going to shame you and make you feel bad about yourself. And that negative feedback loop is going to stop you from making this mistake. The mm-hmm. problem is that you made the mistake because you felt shame and you're trying to wash it out with the problematic behavior. And that's generally subconscious. It's not a conscious decision to do that. And so mm-hmm. it doesn't really do much and just piles up. In fact, it makes the shame more intense, and then the problematic behavior can come up more often.
And to that point of you said the answer basically was to press into it, you know, learn about it from yourself so then you can go into either a space of contrition or a space of fixing it, basically. It's acting upon it to making it better, whether it be fixing the problem in the first place that was created or repairing it after the time gone or what have you. And one of the things that the thought came in my head was, as you're doing that process of mentally pressing into what is causing me my shame, what did I do wrong, and that evaluation of the process, unless I'm missing something, Father, here, that's using the virtue of courage to be able to say, what did I do, and using one of the graces that are given to us from God. And I think that what a lot of times happens is, because you're dealing with something that was a mistake, people will feel vulnerable in that state, and they'll feel isolated, as the nature of shame is, as you just outlined there. It's a group keeping me away from someone, so it doesn't feel good. And the compounding effect of, I'm alone, I can't do this myself, when we actually look at it, what's actually happening is, you're using the virtue. You're leaning in with the Holy Spirit, and therefore you're not alone. And that was a thought that had occurred to me as we were discussing this element of shame here. And I think that that's something that's tremendously powerful. And to bring it back full circle, that's part of what I'm assuming started the desire for at least some of the participants to be in the Exodus 90 in the first place. I recognize that there's something wrong in my life, and I want to do something about it. And I loved your answer about, you know, we can feel these things, but what do we as Catholics, as Christians who want to make the world a better place, actually do? You know, what is our process here? And I love that this program, the Exodus 90, is in existence so that you can. And it's something that I would imagine essentially becomes a part of your life and habitual. If you do the same activity for 90 days, that tends to happen. So, Father, I want to give you a chance to conclude the episode about the importance of at least thinking about joining Exodus 90 or another implication in there, with the key emphasis being doing it with a group and not by yourself.
Yeah, and just to reaffirm what you said, Joe, it really does take courage to lean into the shame, the feeling of failure, and the fear that can come up with that maybe this makes me unlovable or will make people exclude me, and to face it, to feel it, to share it, takes a lot of courage, and it is profoundly transforming. It's how shame turns into glory. So shame and glory are both about being seen. Although shame is being seen in a negative light, glory is being seen in a positive light. And when we realize that we are loved unconditionally by God, and so our life is loved by Him, then even our weakness is something we can glory in, as St. Paul says. So we learn that from our experience of others and the way that we are able to support each other in that. So that opportunity to share this journey with a group of friends, and also, you know, I laid out the requirements. They have some little grace periods, you know, to celebrate Sundays, and you can relax the alcohol requirement for an evening date with your wife, or you can, you know, you work those things out with the group, and that just keeps everything in the light, and so it prevents the kind of secrecy and the kind of secrecy that can intensify shame again and can really build up a deep communion. So it really becomes a band of brothers who grow through that Exodus experience. And they have some stats on their website, you know, the number of men who reported a better relationship with their children after Exodus, a better relationship with their wives after Exodus, a lower addiction to their phones after Exodus. So there's a real freedom that comes through making this kind of journey, in making the personal commitment, which is necessary, but also doing that with good brothers, with friends, a group to support us along the way.
And I love that last part that you brought up there, is that as we've said, or as I've said, and you have too, I guess, in multiple different ways throughout the last 5 years of this, being closer to God gives you benefits in ways that you don't directly think of. And, you know, you don't go into this with the expectation of I'm going to stop looking at my phone as much and stop being a slave to it or anything else. But you come out of it with perks and benefits. And that's what every good relationship ends up being. It will win-win for everyone. And it's a multiplier effect for yourself, those around you, and society. And I just absolutely love that. And I love emphasizing that point is that there's nothing wrong with having a relationship that everyone benefits from. In fact, that's the ideal version of a relationship. So I wanted to point that out, that it's well worth the endeavor in ways that you will never really be able to grasp. And I think that that's something that's really important to sink in and to think about. You know, 90 days seems like a daunting, insurmountable time, but the amount of benefit you'll get after the fact, it's like, why didn't I do that sooner? That's almost always the type of reaction you get. So we thank everyone for listening. Again, please reach out to us via fatherandjoe@gmail.com if you have something you want us to talk about. Also, please leave a review regardless of what star it is. Give us what you believe we are and leave some comments in there. It will greatly help us grow as we are coming off of our highest month ever. So thank you all very much, and we'll be with you again next week.